Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. God bless and enjoy the message.
So I'm going to ask you, if you feel comfortable again, as a tradition in our church, I'm going to ask you in your homes to stand with me, and we are going to read God's word. We are in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read the first 11 verses, which is the description of what we call Palm Sunday. Hear the word of the Lord. And as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "And as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God," or most translations say, "Hosanna." "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." The entire city was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat there in your homes. Well, what is the most famous verse in the Bible? Most of us would declare it's John 3:16. And I believe John 3:16 is critically important for us today, on this day, in the situation in which we find ourselves. You can quote it with me if you know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." What is he saying to us there in a great need that we have today? He is declaring, he is making the declaration that he loves you. So if you take out the word "world" and put your name there, God so loved Ken, God so loved Kathy, God so loved Sam, God so loved Samantha that he gave his one and only Son. He not only made the declaration, he demonstrated it by coming and dying for you and I. He proved the extent of his love. He not only loves us, he demonstrated it. We know that it's easy for people to say, "I love you." We say we love everything. I love the Detroit Tigers. I love Coney dogs. I love this. I love that. But Jesus showed us the full extent of what he did by loving us. He didn't, like many people think, come into the world to condemn us. He did not come in to condemn, but he came to save us in situations like today. And even though you and I, many of us listening from our homes, know that truth to be real, I've been asking that this morning, that would be more of a renewed truth, not from just our head, but in our heart today. And when this becomes a reality, a new renewed love of God in us on this Palm Sunday, it will bring healing to our person, our whole person. We will have healing from sin that tries to wrap us up and destroy us. Healing from suffering and struggle that seems to want to drown us. Healing from a situation that seems to be overwhelming. Healing from addictions that we push away from it rather than engage it. From our past hurt and pain. And courage to face these days, no longer feeling trapped and disappointed. This is what happens when John 3:16 becomes a reality for you and I. that He is everything that we need, a hope that moves us towards eagerness and to serve Him. I know that He tells us clearly in John 14:6, are you feeling like you're lost today? Are you feeling like you're in a fog? Do you feel like you're in the middle of darkness looking for the light? Let me make it clear to you. Jesus said this. He's waving His arms and He's saying, hey, I'm the way. Here I am. No need to be lost. I am the way. How many of you today feel like you're on social media and you're on your devices because you're home? And you're hearing a lot of stuff from all around you. All different opinions. Jesus is declaring to you today, in the midst of all of this noise, I am the truth today. And my truth doesn't change regardless of your situation. That is good news. And if you were in the sanctuary right now, we would be saying amen. He is not only the truth, but He is also, He says, I am the way, I am the truth. And if you are looking for what life is all about, He says, I am life. I am life. We don't have to walk around as the walking dead. We can have life to its full. And lastly, He's saying in this verse, if you want to have the hope of eternity, He says, all people can come to the Father through me. I'm the door. I'm the doorway. So He not only showed us His love, He's making that declaration, an old verse. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So today, what I want to do is take that as our foundation. And I want to take this passage of scripture that we just read, what we call Palm Sunday. And you're welcome to take out your MyKCC app. You see my sermon notes there. You're welcome to go online there on our website if you want to follow along digitally. The first point that I would want to make to you today as Jesus was entering in is this. Jesus initiated a new kingdom. He did. Jesus initiated a new kingdom. Would you in your houses repeat after me? Say, give us that kingdom. Look at somebody next to you. If you're with somebody in your home, say, give us that kingdom. I can hear you right now. What you need to understand is that this was His message throughout. If you study the Gospels, those first four books of the New Testament, especially the book of Mark, His message was completely and utterly that. He made it from the very beginning to the very end that the kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is here. Now, in order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king that rules. And He's declaring throughout His life and His ministry that the kingdom has arrived. Now, what we see happening here is that He is now at the climax. He's at the epic point of making that declaration about the kingdom. The context is simple. He's been out with His disciples for 3.5 years doing public ministry. He's now coming into Jerusalem. And as He comes in, He's fulfilling the prophecy that He will come in on a donkey. And as He comes in, the word had got out and there was no internet at the day. And as the word got out, they lined the streets and they started shouting, Hosanna! If you were here right now, we'd be shouting that. And not only did they shout, Hosanna! The way or the reason why we got the word Palm Sunday is that they would lay down palm branches and they would wave palm branches as homage to Him. They believed that this was the Messiah that was going to deliver them. The kingdom, they believe, was actually at hand. But we see quickly that there was going to be a dilemma. The Messiah that they believed was going to initiate the kingdom was not matching up with Jesus and who He was. Because what they were all about was the physical kingdom. They believed that He was going to deliver them in that moment for a physical kingdom. They believed it was kind of like He was going to be another Joshua that would bring down the walls of Jericho. It was going to bring back the days of the dynasty of King David. They were going to no longer be under the rule of the dynasty of Rome. This is what they believed. And as He was coming in, they declared, Hosanna, Hosanna. And as they did this, what you need to understand is that Hosanna literally means saves now. Now that's critically important to understand, because they're saved. When they were screaming Hosanna, they were believing He was going to deliver them physically from underneath Rome's emperor and be able to be free. Jesus was the Hosanna, but He was bringing a different kind of kingdom, wasn't He? He was bringing a kingdom that was a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. Let me illustrate it this way. The kingdom has come, but not yet fully. That's what Jesus was saying. Can I say that again? The kingdom has arrived, but not yet fully. What do I mean by that? The spiritual kingdom was at hand for all of us. And if, in fact, the kingdom has arrived in our heart, that means the King, King Jesus, rules in our heart. And then we have the capacity to handle the situations before us. But it has not arrived fully because it's not until he returns at his second return that we have the physical kingdom that they were all about in that day and age. So therefore, we have the kingdom of God in us to face the situations that we have today. Situations that are daunting and overwhelming. But we have the assurance that he said the kingdom is here for us right here and right now. Now, the funny thing about this story is these folks were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? And a few days later, some of the same people that cried out, Hosanna, several days later cried out, Crucify him. Now, why was that the case? It's very clear. The reason why they switched so quickly is that Jesus did not live up to their expectation. He didn't live up to what they believed he should be as Messiah. So they said, kill him, crucify him. We'll look for the true Messiah before we become so judgmental of them in that week. Aren't we the same? I'm wondering how many of us today in our homes have the same kind of feeling, if we were honest, about our relationship with him. That he's not living up to our expectations. He's not doing it the way we had agreed that he would do it. And we're in the middle of the fight of our lives. We're in the middle of our struggle. We're in the middle of a moment where God is taking, we believe God's taking my job or taking my family. Or God's taking my health or people around me. God's not giving me what he's given somebody else. Why can't I have that? There's disappointment with God. And I'm here to tell you that that has been going on throughout the generations. And there was no difference that day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, when they cried out, Hosanna, save us now. And when he did not live up to their expectations, they cried out, crucify him. And although you and I may not say crucify him, we take business into our own hands. And we begin to actually act to say, if you're not going to do it the way you and I have agreed you're going to do it, then I'm going to take over. And that doesn't go very well, does it? It always ends in a disaster. He initiated a kingdom, my friends, but it was a kingdom of spiritual impact. One day we will have a physical kingdom, and he was making that known to us. The key point is simply this. A new kingdom has been ushered in, but it's seen in the hearts of those who simply say yes. Who say yes. Now let me give you the second thing that I think is critical in this entry into Jerusalem in the middle of a celebration. And that is this. Jesus completed the Passover connection. Jesus completed the Passover connection. Would you repeat after me? Say, Jesus is our provision. Say it again. Jesus is our provision. Now, understand, this entry in Jerusalem had a context. As you read scripture, I'll say this again, I say it often, you need to read scripture in context. Would you repeat after me? Say, context is king. That's right. Context is king. And what we see here is that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem in the middle of a Passover celebration that happened for years. And he's now going to be the connection of what they had been looking for. So if you understand the context, you understand what Jesus is up to. Let me back up and explain the context to you. You know, way back when this nation Israel, they were at the end of the confrontation with Pharaoh in Egypt, and Moses was their leader, and the power encounters were coming down, and finally the last judgment of God was going to be given to the Egyptian people, and their firstborn male son was going to die. And he declared to Moses, tell all my people to sacrifice an animal and put the blood of the animal over the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes through, he will spare their child. And from that point forward, when that judgment came down on the Egyptian, the Israelites, as they traveled as a nation throughout history, acknowledged this Passover moment of God. And as you see this happening, you need to realize it. And if you want to look at it, you can go to Exodus chapter 12. As they moved out and continued forward, the context of this Passover, they continued to go out as a nation, and they started a system that was implemented by Moses via God's command. And simply, you could go to the Leviticus chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and you'll see what he was saying to them. As you practice the Passover, you still have this issue called sin, and here's how you're going to deal with it for the time being. In the Leviticus chapter 1, he simply said this, I want you to offer up an offering, what we're going to call a burnt offering. This offering will be a bull or a ram, and it's, you're going to sacrifice as an act of worship for any sin that you did not mean to do. That's chapter 1 of Leviticus. Chapter 2, he said, I want you to offer up a grain offering. This offering is any animal for thanksgiving and a fellowship unto God. Chapter 3 of Leviticus said fellowship offering, any animal for thanksgiving and fellowship. Chapter 4, a sin offering, any animal, a bull or a goat, for any sin. And chapter 5, a guilt offering, yet again, an animal for your sin that would wipe out your guilt. Now, the problem is with these five offerings in Leviticus, as they continue to serve God, is that they were insufficient. Their purpose was to point to this moment, the moment in which Jesus, the Messiah, would show up in Jerusalem and be the final offering. And we see the sacrificial system of what we call, in this context, the Levitical system, had a spiritual significance. And the significance was simple. Number one, sin had to be dealt with. You couldn't just go through life without dealing with this thing called sin. Secondly, there needed to be complete surrender to God's will and his purpose. And number three, fellowship, because of these offerings, would be established between the worshiper, the priest, and God himself. But it all pointed to Jesus. Now, Jesus was going to be the sacrifice, and Jesus was going to be the priest between us and God. And Jesus even declared in his teaching, in Luke 22, he said, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be the final offering. No longer are we going to need any other. My sacrifice will bring the new kingdom. That's what the whole Last Supper was about. If you're able to come with us and be live with us on Friday, as we, as a family, from my household to yours, we partook of communion together, of what Jesus did as the final connection, the final Passover to us. I'm here to tell you today, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can make us right with God, only but the blood of Jesus. Many of us, we try to wipe off our sin. We wash really hard. Yesterday I was painting in my condo, and I took a lot of effort to get the paint all off me. And I still see some of the paint on my wedding ring. And many of us are trying to get all of the sin off of us. And I'm here to declare to you today, and that Jesus was the final Passover connection, that there is absolutely nothing that can take care of us but the blood of Jesus. You can't go to the store and buy it. You can't go to a psychologist and figure it out. You can't be good and get it. You can't just attend church. You can't serve the poor. There's only one thing that will truly restore us, and that's what the entire Old Testament pointed to, was the final offering, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm thinking about that old hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And I've asked Brent to come back on stage. Brent, can you sing that old hymn for us, that chorus, a cappella, that we could, and if you're at home, know it, sing it along with Brent. Can you make that as a worship with us? Let's sing that song.
Absolutely. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And we realize that today Jesus was exactly that for you and me. He was the completion of the Passover. He declares to us, no matter how dirty, how rough your sin is, if we confess, the blood of Jesus will set us free. Not only that, he tells us in John 3:3, that if you need new life, he will give us ability to be born again. That's what the significance of the blood of Jesus is. Isaiah said, as though your sin is red like crimson, it shall be white as snow. I know from my own experience that I struggled a lot with this, understanding that he is the one that saves us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The key point is simply this. Jesus provided the final sacrifice of atonement for all of us. And I say amen to that. Let me give you my final thought today from this entry into Jerusalem. And that is this. Jesus gave us direct access to God the Father. He gave us direct access to God the Father. Would you repeat after me? Say, let's enter in. Say it again. Let's enter in. You see, prior to this moment, prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, we were very limited in our interaction with God. And the nation of Israel, who had the mandate to follow him and be a blessing to the nations around, they had to have a mediator. They had to have somebody that would stand in the gap between them and God. And Leviticus 16 says, and on the Day of Atonement, once a year, one high priest would go into this place called the Holy of Holies in the temple where God's presence was at. And tradition has that they would literally tie a rope with a bell on, and as he would make a sacrifice for himself and then a sacrifice for the nation. If in fact he wasn't pure in heart, he would drop dead in that moment in the presence of God, and nobody would retrieve him, because if they went in there, they could surely die too. But they would pull him out by the rope. And that was the limit that they saw in that moment. But everything now was going to change. Palm Sunday changed everything. There was going to be a new kingdom, a final offering that you and I have the capacity to literally enter in to this Holy of Holies. And we know and we will acknowledge on Good Friday that when Jesus died on the cross, the gospel says it was a moment that changed the world. Changed the world. And in that moment, things changed. It said when Jesus died and he declared it is finished, that the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, it literally was ripped. It was a symbolism to saying, you're all now have access to God Almighty. Why don't you access it now? Why don't you engage it? It's what you were created for. Engage him in ways that you could not without this possibility. It said, as he died, there was darkness in the land for 3 hours. There was an earthquake so violent that rocks literally split. I love this part. Holy people were raised from the dead and started walking around when Jesus died. And we also see that hardened men, the centurions, who crucified people, killed people as a part of their job, declared that he truly was and is the Son of God. I'm here to declare to you today that when he died, when he was entering and initiating this kingdom, he was offering a new way of living, that we could, a new order for humanity, that we could now enter in to the Holy of Holies. Unfortunately, I see this all the time. We do not access that potential and that availability to us. We continue going around only including God in this part of my life or that part of my life, but not allowing to be involved with all parts of my life. Coming into a what Jesus called a closet of prayer, where we sense the presence of God Almighty. When we come together in this sanctuary that I'm looking out today that is empty, when we gather together, we have the capacity to enter in to, with the presence of God with our brothers and sisters, which most of the world dies to know about today. He's saying to us, this new order enables you and I, according to 2 Corinthians 5, to be a new creation. And it all occurs. How does it work? John 16 says it works because of the Comforter and the Counselor. It comes because of the Holy Spirit. He is now accessible to you and I, the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I want to enter in. I want to enter in and experience all that God has for me. I want to experience God at the fullness. Now, some of you may think, man, he is a mystic by his words and by his personality. Maybe I am, guilty as charged. But when I read things in Scripture about these experiences with God, I don't want to just read about them. I don't think that God shows favoritism. I want to enter in for myself. When I read about Moses who went up on the mountain and he came down and the Shekinah glory of God was on him and he radiated the glory of God, it's not that I'm so much caught up into the radiance of God on me, but I want to experience that. When I read about Peter up on the mount with Jesus and they're all transformed and he sees the glory of God, I want to experience God in that capacity. When Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 prays to God and the presence and the power of God shows up and Daniel falls on his face as though he's dead before the presence of God, I want that kind of experience. Not because I want an emotional experience, but because I want a relationship with the one who created me. And he's saying to us today, enter in. The kingdom is yours. Don't let somebody dictate for you what your God needs to look like and be. He is the God that is alive and well today, and his Spirit has been released unto you and I. And Ephesians 1 says he is the seal guaranteeing our salvation today. We can move forward knowing that our God is with us. We do not know what this next week holds. We do not know the struggle that we're about to engage in. But we have one in which we enter in with, who has the capacity and desire to stick closer in any way that we need. When I am weak, he is strong. When it's impossible with me, it is possible with him. When I can't, he can. When I surrender, he does. Step back and watch God do his thing. This is what entering in means. Take it. There's no such thing as God is my co-pilot. God is the pilot. He is the one who is in control. And I'm here to declare to you today that in this moment that we find ourselves in, God may be stripping us of things that are unnecessary. God is using it as a megaphone to get our attention. Are we listening? The curtain has been torn because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The kingdom has been established for all who say yes. And he's saying to you, start living with this truth, not just in your head, but in your heart. And understand that greater days are ahead. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of the gift that he's given you? It's for you today. My key point is simple. God is accessible 24/7. Let's use it. Let's use it. Let's access it today. Because he is waiting. I would tell you that I wish that God would force us into the Holy of Holies. I wish that God would say, I got something good for you and you're going to experience it. But that's not love. He wants you to choose it. He wants you and I to bow our knee. He wants us to come with hungry hearts. He wants us to do it out of a love for him. He's waiting for us. He's already demonstrated his love, hasn't he? That's what this week's all about. Now we get to reciprocate it by expressing our love for him, to have an experience with him. That we then, the beauty of being in the Holy of Holies is that Moses was transformed physically with the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, right? You and I will and can be transformed in our character. Anybody need character change today? That we can have the fruit of the Spirit as a result of it. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. These things are critical that we cannot get any other way. So let's enter in today, my friends. We're able to do it because of the blood of Jesus. And he's saying to us, understand what he has done for us. Apply these amazing principles for you and I. Here's what I'm going to call us to this morning. I'm calling us to pray at this very moment as I conclude that his healing rain would come down upon you. His healing rain would come down. Yesterday morning it was raining. I think it was yesterday. The days get kind of confused to me, but I think it was yesterday. And as it was raining and I was thinking about today, as the rain fell, I was praying in my condo that God's healing power would fall upon you and your homes at this moment like rain. And his healing power would give us what we need at this moment. Some of you need healing, as I declared at the beginning. I believe God can do it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. This is not a show. This is trying to celebrate the one who created us today. I'm going to pray that he can grant that to us. And before I pray, I want to ask you, if you feel comfortable, maybe you can pray, God, I want you to heal me. In the quietness of your home, in the quietness of your own heart, for the kingdom has been initiated. It has. It's there. And Jesus was that Passover connection. Therefore, we can enter in to the Holy of Holies, and we can do it now. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I pray a blessing of healing upon you. Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, I'm asking as the by faith, the healing you have granted so many times before, that you would do it again. I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would powerfully heal the mom that's in her front room that has anxiety beyond any moment that she's had before, and she doesn't know if she's going to be able to make it the next day, that you would heal her of that. For the man that's sitting there tempted to return to his addiction, whatever that looks like, and you heal him of that in Jesus' name. Your healing rain. For the one that is lonely right now, and the one that is feeling that they can't make it, and they have hopelessness, that you would give them exactly what they need. For marriages that are on the rocks, I'm praying for your restoration. For kids that are prodigal, that they would come back to what they know to be true today. Lord God, would you make this a reality for all of those that are viewing? Whether they're viewing in another country, in another state, or here in West Michigan, I'm asking in Jesus' name that your healing rain would fall, because we believe that what we're celebrating and acknowledging this day, that when you came in Jerusalem that many years ago, O Lord, that the true victory was established. And we believe this with all of our heart. So bless my brothers and sisters, because you are truly the Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's in his mighty name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen.